All right. So welcome to this episode of Comes Naturally. Before we get into the intros, we are going to go over the business of getting the middle finger from Michael Owen. Finish him. Anyways, all right. So this is a good start to fucking madness. So Michael, would you like to do the business why I tweet?
Yeah. We just talked about that, you shithead. Business, as always, this is an absolutely free podcast, so please help us out, show some support. There's a couple things that we need you to do. It is a must. You have to, first, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. When you like us on Facebook, you share the page with all your friends, let them know what it's about. Facebook is a very important thing for you guys to like, because every Friday morning when the podcast goes live, we have all the links to whatever platform you want to get the podcast on. It's all going to be right there for you. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural.
Again, every week.
Pod.
What is it again?
At Comes Natural Pod.
Yeah. Again, every
way to
week,
fail, Mike.
I wasn't listening. I time it, and then I know when to come back in if you say it right. And then if you follow us on Twitter, again, all the information every Friday when the podcast goes live, plus a little bit more during the course of the week, will be on there for you, too. And it's a good place to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments, or if you want to say anything about the podcast to us, that's a good spot. The other really, really important thing we need you to do, we get most of our downloads through iTunes. So please, please, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. It makes it to where it automatically downloads for you every time the episode goes live. You'll get it without having to do anything at all right there in your pocket, on your iPhone, on your iPad, on your computer, however you want to do it. And then after you subscribe, please, we need a rate and review. Just something real quick if the rating goes on a star, 1 to 5, and then just write a few nice words about the podcast would be good. Just give people your impressions of it. The reason the ratings are the most important thing right now is if we can manage to get on the new and noteworthy page of the podcast on iTunes, that would really help drive traffic to the podcast and really help our standing in the podcast community. And he's trying to show you something. It's distracting me. I want you to look now.
Really? 50 cent
card. That's pretty funny. Anyway, so yeah. Rate and review, like I said, the
Not
more
so
rates
Black Beauty.
And more reviews we get, the better our standing is in the podcast community. It really helped drive traffic. And it'd be greatly appreciated. All right. And that's business. Anything else you need to add?
I have a feeling that we should like find a really sad song, like the Sarah McLachlan stuff that they play behind the.
I will remember.
As you're saying all that stuff.
Please.
Just to really
for
drive
just for 25 cents a day.
Really drive home the feels so that we can get those numbers up.
I'll bring my boombox in next time. Because that's the only way to do it, right?
Right.
Play it it's on not like box. We can add it in later.
No, not at all. Technology. Magic. All right.
Anything else, Cody? Anything no. you need to add?
Nope.
Besides maybe the beginning of the show.
All right.
Ooh.
Let's start this motherfucker off.
Welcome to Comes Naturally Podcast. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Our special guest today is.
Oh, am I on this one?
Eric.
What the fuck? You got a mic in front of
yeah,
you.
Yeah. We didn't unhook your mic, you fucker. Plus, you've been talking.
The way you carried the F, I thought you were going to call him a fat fuck. I don't know why, but I was all
you...
like, oh.
Fattish fuck. Because he's really not fat. Like, he's lost like a little bit of the
no, weights. But it was just how you were carrying the F.
I almost didn't say fucker. There was another word that I'm not going to say on the podcast.
I'm going to stop you right there because this is actually the heaviest I've ever been in my life. So
that's because you cut your hair.
It's an audio podcast. No one fucking knows.
But I'm just, you know.
I was trying to make it sound better.
I do appreciate
y'all ladies all juiced up.
Yeah, trying to make you feel better after I cut
or
yeah,
dusty, however
fuck.
It works.
He called you the fat fuck.
I didn't call him
no,
a fat
he
fuck.
He thought you were going to
yeah,
call
and
him.
I said, if anything, I was going to call him all fat-ish fuck. All right, I was defending
fair
you.
Enough.
Thank you very much.
My
anyways,
hero.
Yeah. Getting all moisty. So,
oh, is that what that smell
yep.
is?
Yeah. Don't act like you didn't love it. It's a new fragrance. Anyways, I don't know. On today's episode, we are going to try something new. We have yet, as of right now, do not have a name for it. It's a lot like off the cuff, but with a little more restraint. So it's going to be news and rumors. We're going to talk about different things that have come up in the last week or so. We're going to try to do this more often, try to break it up a little bit, maybe do more of these between. It doesn't matter. We're going to try it out. People like it. Good. If they don't, fuck you. It's free.
And we'll see how it flows and everything.
So since Eric didn't know he's going to be on, he doesn't actually have a topic, but he's going to be talking about it. We'll get a first topic from Mike. So what's the first one? Actually, you know what? Fuck you. Let's go to Joe first. Joe, what's the first one?
Real quick, give him just a little bit more of how this is going to go down.
So this is what's going to happen is someone's going to bring up a topic. Again, we don't have a number we're going to go through. We're just going to go until we reach the time. Someone's going to bring up a topic where it's going to kind of talk about it as a group. Go over it with, it depends on what, if it's rumors or if it's a news story, and go into just coming
up. So, yeah, the idea behind it originally is throughout the week, we always record on Wednesdays, and you always get it on Friday. I like the idea of whatever we record on Wednesday going up on Friday. So to make it more timely, and especially if you subscribe, you'll be right there with us when it comes out. Just things that have made news in whatever facet. Just things that have made news in whatever category that hits us that we think we could talk about that is interesting or cool or fun, whether it be movie news, music news, comic news, video games. I'm going to do a tad bit of sports every now and then.
Boo!
Yeah, boo sports.
You're saying ESPN? Shut the fuck up.
But yeah, so that's the idea behind it. It's just something to keep it a little bit fresh, I guess, and so we're just not breaking down old movies every time we do a podcast.
Doing something that Mike absolutely hates.
Yeah, or not even, it's not like I don't hate it, but I just like the idea of it being...
Few and far between.
Right, so what was the first thing that you wanted to talk about that kind of popped up this week?
So for me, we're all movie nerds. The biggest thing that popped up this week is the sort of quote unquote lost film from Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray called Nothing Lasts Forever. Apparently this film was made in 1984, the same time that they did Ghostbusters. Initially when I read all of this stuff, I had thought this was an actual full-on lost movie by Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, even though reading more about it, and I did watch a little bit of the movie, I just couldn't actually sit there and watch the whole thing because it was just, the 20 minutes I watched just were not good at all. But they're side characters. They're not actual main characters in the movie. The main actor draw of the movie is Zach Galligan.
Yep.
And if you don't know that name, he was in Gremlins. He was the main guy in Gremlins. Eric's shaking his head. Yes, does remember who he is. So
Billy.
Zach Galligan and Lauren Tom. I didn't honestly look her up, so I'm not really going to go over who she is. But directed by Tom Schiller, produced by Lauren Michaels, semi-full cast, Zach Galligan, Lauren Tom, Sam Jeff, Bill Murray. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that. Imogen Coca?
Yeah, you can Google it.
Imogene? She was the lady that played the grandmother they pick up in National Lampoon's Vacation, the one that dies on the roof.
Okay. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie
Fisher. All right, something. way to go, guy.
And Rosemary DeAngelis round out the cast as far as Wikipedia lists. Distributed by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and from what I had read, the reason why it was never released is because once it was finally made, even though it was made for only $3 million, which at the time I don't think was very much money for a studio to do, but it was such an artsy film because you watch it and it looks like it was recorded back in the 1940s. It has the same cinematography, same, directing. Even the acting it just felt like you were just watching somebody from the 1940s. All done in black and white, which, and apparently some of it towards the later half of the movie, you start seeing color in it for some weird reason. But again, I never watched it because the first 20 minutes of it were just absolutely boring. I do want to read the plot from Wikipedia, though, because it goes from what I watched, which was boring and normal, to, because it kept being called a sci-fi comedy, and I just couldn't place it. So here's what it says, the plot according to Wikipedia. The film opens to Adam Beckett, played by Zach Galligan, reluctantly performing as a purported pianist to an audience in New York City. When Beckett gives away that he is using a player piano, the outraged crowd storms stage and wraps Beckett with the piano rolls. After fleeing to Europe, Adam is accosted on a train by a Swedish architect to whom he explains his stymied dreams of becoming an artist. After encouragement from the architect, Adam resolves to return to America. Upon returning, he discovers that the Port Authority has taken control of New York and is restricting entry into the city. Upon failing a drawing test at the Port Authority, Adam is forced to work in a menial job under a trigger-happy boss played by Dan Aykroyd. His kindness to a tramp leads him to be taken into an underground network where he discovers that the city's tramps are controlling the destiny of all the cities in the world. They instruct him to travel to the moon on a mission via a city bus and its conductor, Bill Murray, to spread peace and to find his true love, Lauren Tom.
Wow.
Right?
So you're saying it was lost on purpose?
Yeah. Now, apparently, Bill Murray likes to play it at like some get-togethers that he has every once in a while. But just by reading that, I was just I have no clue what to think about this movie, and I kind of want to watch it to see how bad it is. It might be even a future torture theater. I might argue.
Maybe. I don't know. It sounds really weird. And I did see the story going around. I didn't really click into it or check into it that much. Because I figured if a movie was made back then and nobody really knew about it, there's a reason for it. So I didn't really give a fuck. but yeah, it's weird too to think, because like Bill Murray at the time was a huge star. Like you didn't like at least to throw it out on VHS to try to make some of that coin back. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, and it didn't. It actually leaked quote unquote onto YouTube about 3 years ago. But it's not until now that somehow it just got started getting media attention and. People are actually starting to watch it.
It's not like if it's a bad... I mean, look at how many bad movies Lorne Michaels has produced from Saturday Night Live that still...
Almost all of them?
Yeah, that have been released.
Yeah.
I think the ones that were most successful were Wayne's World.
Corky Romano.
So Wayne's World?
Was that an SNL production?
There was the Ladies so, Man. There was maybe. Corky Romano was, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything Knights that has a SNL guy as a main cast,
Knights of Roxbury
has something to do with it.
Anyways, and, Joe was going to say...
Tom Schiller was actually a writer on SNL. Yeah.
Before I forget, Lauren Tom, I knew the name. I just wanted to make sure I was right. It's Amy Wong from Futurama.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. She plays a lot of voice actors.
It's all coming together now.
Yeah. Yes.
She played Dana Tan in Batman Beyond for Michael.
Oh.
Yep.
Really? How old is she?
Well, she's pretty old, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. She is 52.
What a voice actor's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never picture him. Anyway, so what do you think? So you said you watched 20 and like
I watched like yeah the 20 minutes, like literally the first paragraph is it half the first paragraph is what I watched. So he's he's playing the piano, player piano. I watched a little bit after that, and
the way you described it as a 40s style movie, I kept picturing Charlie Chaplin and like a piano.
No, seriously, it looks exactly like that. It's played exactly like a 1940s movie.
Gross.
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Cody?
Yes, it is awful.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Is there any like redeeming or charming quality?
No. Bill Murray's awful. Dan Aykroyd is awful. The whole fucking movie is just it got shit canned. I didn't want to cut Joe off. It got shit canned because back then they didn't release movies just to VHS or home video. They didn't happen. Like right. If you wanted your money back,
that's what I'm saying. Is like I'm surprised that later on.
Oh, no, that's how bad this movie is. Like, there's no way they're going to make their $3 million. I mean, you get it out, like, the thing is, like, it did so badly in like, test screenings and through, like, things like that. They didn't want to taint the careers of Dan Aykroyd.
You will never be in a movie again.
Yeah, like, that's how bad this movie actually is. Like, it could literally, because it was coming out the same time as Ghostbusters was, and they were already planning Ghostbusters 2, they didn't want to ruin Ghostbusters 2. Okay. That's how bad this sinkhole of a movie actually was. They were willing to lose the $3 million they made, estimated to make it, and not actually put it out. That's how bad this movie actually is.
I'm sure there's a ton of movies out there by a lot of big-name stars that are sitting in vaults somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially back then, because you could hide the fact that they made a movie. Right now, if anybody does anything, yeah, we're going to hear
it's
about
on,
it.
Yeah, it's on you know some sort of news publication.
We get set pics. We get leaked scripts. But back then, yeah, you could actually, if somebody made a movie and nobody liked it, I'd be surprised if we don't soon find out about more and more and more big name. Because a lot of it, too, like, you figure back then, Bill Murray is a funny dude, Dan Aykroyd is a funny dude, but that if they're that good. Bad, like, that's right. That's clearly the direction of the movie makers wanted to go with it, you know what I mean?
And I was reading this while Joe was talking to. So Warner Brothers, who owns a lot of the Metro-Goldwyn stuff, who made this, has so much trouble even getting the legal stuff out of the way to release it, because they've been trying to put it on DVD as like a, you know, lost Dan Aykroyd Bill Murray movie. They've had so many problems with legal difficulties that it's dropped from 2003, 2006, and 2007. And they even paid Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray to do special features for the DVD release and still has not been released.
Wow. That means a lot of hands were in the cookie jar when they're making it, though. Yeah. Like that's the only reason for that. So that could also explain why it was a shit movie if too many people had, you know, ingredients to throw into it. So. Munger, did you see it?
No.
Nice. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah,
and also in 84 too, like, it seems like a really bad time to do a black and white movie, because like now you could do a black and white movie now and then.
Well, it sounds like they were trying to go the route of like Young Frankenstein.
Yeah,
yeah, like that, or like an artsy film, which you probably could have gotten away with today. You could have taken it at least to a Cannes Film Festival or something like that to show it off, and you could actually probably make money off of it today. But back then, no.
All right. So that's interesting. Keep an eye out for that, or find the article. I think the articles were like on Yahoo and
it was everywhere. Yeah,
sites, so
IGN
it's pretty much
had it
everywhere. But we just gave you the skinny in case you were like me and you didn't want to read the whole article because you're a lazy bastard,
or you live in a cave but somehow get internet.
This coming from a guy who didn't read the article.
That's why it's funny. Cody, what do you want to bring up, sir?
I have nothing really.
You have nothing.
Thanks, nothing. Nothing really. I mean, one of the things that Mike's going to bring up that he wants to is, but I mean, there's not really. I didn't find anything this week that was really that big. That, you know, other than, I mean, in the other episode we recorded that obviously hasn't come out yet for you guys, was the Turtles thing. But that was really it. Literally the only news I really saw that was anything worthwhile that I saw again. But I've been busy this week, so.
All right.
Doing shit.
So what was your first thing, Mike?
Real quick, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's not kind of our thing, but LeBron James going back to Cleveland, and I don't know, did you guys see the letter that he like open wrote to the fans?
I saw a letter, and I never read.
Okay,
so capital F.
so what happened is LeBron left Cleveland 4 years ago, his home, like basically his hometown, to go to Miami, won a couple championships. He's a free agent this year. And when he left Cleveland, this is part of the reason that what bugs me about this whole story. When he left Cleveland, people were burning his jerseys, talking so much shit from Cleveland, saying that he was a fraud anyway, and he wasn't that good, talking mad shit. The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers released a letter that was on their website up until about 3 weeks ago. So about a week prior to him going back to his team, basically just harpooning him, saying he was a fraud. He was basically two-faced, and he was a traitor, and like just all kinds of like dumb, mean shit. So fast forward, he's a free agent. He decides to go back to Cleveland. And he wrote, or he had somebody, a well-respected Sports Illustrated writer, write a story for him, basically interpret what he was saying, and the writer made it sound better, like basically the only thing he did, to say how he was immature when he left, and he's coming back to Cleveland to hopefully bring home a championship, blah, 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 blah. And so what makes me mad is everyone's giving LeBron all this praise and all these accolades for being so mature to go back home, and they're giving him – this was a straight basketball decision. I'm sure going home had a nice ring to it, but the Miami Heat are going to be a bad team. If they kept the team, they had so much money tied up into the big three that they weren't going to be able to add anybody. They weren't going to be able to improve their team. Dwayne Wade is a shell of him former self. He is a horseshit basketball player now because he can't, like, his knees won't hold up. His legs won't hold up. He can't play like he used to. Mm-hmm. Chris Bosh, as soon as he left the Toronto, where he was like a 22-10 guy, he was a really good NBA pro. As soon as he got to Miami and realized he could take a backseat to two players and he didn't have to do that much, he stopped doing that much. And so they get their ass smoked in the finals by the Spurs, and it's just ugly. And he bails on that team to go to a situation in Cleveland that is a much better situation where they have cap room, good young players that are only going to get better, and he's getting all kinds of accolades and horse shit for going back home. I'm not a LeBron hater. I like LeBron a lot, but like, it just smells fishy to me. It was a good PR move to be able to say he can go back home. But if Cleveland was in a bad situation with no good players and shitty contract, he wouldn't have gone back.
No.
Like if they weren't in a position to be a title contender within the next 2 years, he wouldn't have never come back. So like all this praise that he's getting just pisses me off because it's not realistic or anything like that.
Yeah,
but that's all I wanted, because that pisses me off, and like nobody's addressing that on the sports shows and everything right now. It's all, oh, LeBron's matured and he's gonna do so many great things and Cleveland loves him again.
Miraculously, motherfuckers, shirts and everything for him.
He was on a billboard like 20 minutes after he announced he re-signed. He was already back up on billboards again. I'm like, you guys made like anti LeBron campaigns. Like, I don't know if you guys remember a video.
No, I remember the news. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they did all kinds of shit, and he goes back, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, we didn't mean it. Please come back. We really suck without you, you know?
The last how many years? What? I don't get it.
What happened four years ago? But yeah.
Yay, King James.
Yeah. That bugged me a lot, so I just wanted to get that out there.
No, I could see that. That would bug me, too.
There's a lot of things in sports that are like that. It's the same thing with, like, the teams here in Arizona. When they're doing well, everybody's on board and wants to go and wants to be a part of it.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I think Arizona, like, when the team's not doing well, it's hard to be able to shell out $100 a night to go watch them play. Like, that's why attendance is bad.
I get that, but like I said, it's
still
of a,
talking about
a
like
similar
bandwagon,
bandwagon it's fans, and it works the same way for the players. When the
I absolutely
there.
Love you. You're so awesome. You're leaving my team. F you in the A.
There are very.
I'm gonna F you in the A.
Yeah, we gonna burn everything.
Not an explicit podcast or anything.
There's you know, like just a few players out there that actually do moves for the right reasons and are respectful to the fans, and you know what I'm saying. It's not about the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of bullshit.
That's
Chris,
where I was trying
and
to
Chris Bosh got fucking what was it, $120 million or something like
that?
For 5 years. Chris Bosh is not a $122 million player anymore.
No.
Like even in context of like understanding that basketball contracts are ridiculously high anyway, you just put it into to like average it out for the league, you're just looking in that vacuum. Oh God, that's an awful contract. And Dwayne Wade's getting $15 million a year for the next 3 years. He actually took a pay cut so they can sign other players. Oh God, that team is going to be pretty good this year, but next year and the year after, dude, they're going to locked up in all those shitty contracts. They're not going to be able to do anything.
So, getting a little bit into wish fulfillment, because like you said, you don't hate.
No, I'm.
Him. Where would you have wanted him to go? Obviously, I know you're a Phoenix Suns fan, and they courted him for a day.
Yeah. As a basketball move, I honestly thought Phoenix had the best surrounding pieces. Had he just slid into there, and Cleveland is a smart move for him as a basketball move. It's the team needs a player in his position, and he's obviously the best one in the world. So it makes sense basketball-wise. And like I said, I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm a huge LeBron James fan. I've always have been. But I'm calling bullshit on this whole I'm coming home just to come home. Like, no, you're coming home because
the prodigal son returns.
It's the best.
Yay.
Like, had he left Miami to go to a third team, he'd be the only superstar, like big-name superstar, to actively leave more than one team. Like, there's been others that got traded, you know what I mean? Like, but he'd be the only one that
went free agent,
choose to go to, you know. So he leaves a team again, but he gets credit because it happens to be his first team and his hometown team. So, like, I don't think he's getting the bullshit that a ton of other players would have gotten had he done something like this.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted to say, because it's been bugging me and no one's saying it, so...
And it has been said.
It's been said, and it's in the world in a couple days.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah. Tons.
All right.
What was some of the other newsy things?
So one of the next things for me that popped up is I actually don't know exactly the production time that they've been putting into
sports
it. But
sports fan, don't give a fuck about sports.
Do you want to just stop the podcast right now? Because
I'm waiting for a topic I can talk about.
12 Monkeys. Original movie, although correct me if I'm wrong, it may have been like a book or something. I'm not entirely sure, but I do love the movie itself, starring Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. If you don't know what it is, the basic concept of it takes place starting in the future, where some virus had broken out and basically killed off almost the whole entire population. The future people have discovered how to start time traveling, but they haven't figured it out. Yeah, if you're gonna shout things out, shout it closer to the mic.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. You?
No, you. When you.
Oh yeah. Okay. I just yelled it. You can hear it.
All right.
But they haven't quite figured it out yet. So when they're jumping Bruce Willis back in time, he's hitting different times in history until he finally finds the right time that he's trying to track down the guy who originally releases the viruses. And I'm going to spoiler alert, even though I really shouldn't be, because this movie came out in 1998.
Yeah, if you're upset that we're ruining a movie that came out in 1995, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoilers, fuck yourself.
And it's a fucking free podcast, so
You think it's Brad Pitt's character. He leads a group called the 12 Monkeys. You find out later that they end up just releasing a bunch of animals into the world from a zoo at the same time that this virus happens to take foothold from a different guy. I don't remember the story in full. But then the movie ends there, with Bruce Willis suddenly realizing, oh shit, I really couldn't change history. Yada, yada, yada. So the TV show picks up at the beginning of the movie and just kind of rewrites the concept of it. In the movie, you find out you can't change history. Well, in the TV series, you will be able to change history. So where that goes from where the movie went will be interesting to see. I don't know if they're going to
what's it airing on?
Sci-fi. Picked it up.
Sci-fi?
Yeah.
Okay, so they can do some cool things.
Yeah. There's no big name actors in it. The director has produced a lot of other shows like Galactica and trying to find his name on IMDb, and I have lost it.
While you look that up, so you're asking,
Jeffrey
saying,
Reiner. That's,
yeah, so you were saying you thought that the 12 Monkeys is based on a book. It's not. It's based on a short film.
Short film. Okay.
Yes, French short film.
So what they've said about the TV series is that it starts off at the beginning of the movie where the virus has ravaged the whole entire world, and they are sending their main character back in time in order to figure it out, but since they still haven't figured out time travel, he does end up going to different periods in time. So it's going to be interesting to see if it's going to be like a quantum leap type thing where he ends up in one time.
Funny because you're explaining it, and in my head I'm thinking, man, this could be like a cool newer version of Quantum Leap, or like a shitty newer version of Sliders.
And hopefully his next jump will be the jump home.
The leap home, because it was Quantum Leap. Yeah.
Boom. Well, I was trying to cut you off, but like this concerns me a little bit. It's written by the guys who wrote Terra Nova.
Yeah.
That shitty fucking dinosaur movie or show on
Fox.
I mean, it could have been Fox that made that shitty too, but.
Well, you shouldn't ever do a TV show with dinosaurs in it, because it's going to look shitty.
The problem with that show too, because I watched the very first episode, and I will agree that.
Of course you did.
I watched it
at Comic-Con.
It looked awesome. The beginning of it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
where they started off in the city, and you found out all the kind of the rules of the future, where you could only have so many kids. It was polluted.
Fortress?
It was polluted beyond. That city was polluted beyond control, and they started to. They basically opened up a portal to the past that allowed the rich people to travel back in time, so that they didn't, you know, have to struggle through the basically the disaster that was the future. But it follows a couple of essentially castaways who make it through the portal. So the beginning of it was awesome. The graphics were awesome. But then once you did get into the past, you started running into things that just were really kind of stupid. And it fell into a lot of tropes of, you know, don't go out there alone. And there goes a character alone type of thing. So
it's like in a Scream, when they're all like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're just mocking their own shit at that point. It's like, you like, we know we're going to get canceled. Let's have some fun with this for us.
Yeah. But so I have a bit of high hopes for this show, just because I did enjoy the 12 Monkeys movie. Michael?
I don't know. Has any TV show based off a movie ever been successful? Like, off the top of my head, I don't think I can. Or like in
well, name one. I can't think of one that. Well, I mean, other than like Nightmare on Elm Street TV show.
Tremors.
Well,
like, Tremors had a TV show, yeah, that went
RoboCop
along with
it. It was RoboCop awesome. Just kidding.
RoboCop
awesome.
had a
yeah, like,
TV
there
show.
Hasn't been a
oh,
lot.
Fuck, I forgot
RoboCop
was
awesome.
Show.
I will
RoboCop
say that.
RoboCop lasted
I
like
it.
Three seasons.
I loved RoboCop.
Right? I didn't. I, yeah, that was awful.
Probably the biggest one would be just the Stargate series.
Stargate, yeah. I absolutely love Stargate as well.
So Stargate's the successful big one. I don't. Like, off the top of my head, I'm having a hard time thinking. I know they've
Battlestar
done
Galactica.
Ghostbusters had the
no, Battlestar Galactica was a TV show.
It was originally a movie, though.
For what?
I believe it was a TV movie.
Yeah, based on the TV series.
I thought it was back in the... That was the first one, and then they broke it down into a series.
No,
they
made a TV show. It was like the pilot, basically.
For what?
Original Battlestar Galactica.
It was a mini series that they originally mm-hmm. did, yeah.
And then it became a show.
For the newer stuff, yeah.
Basically, the only reason I asked that question is because it seems like a flawed ideal to do
it
a
It seems
TV
like a weird
show.
Idea, though. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Like, why would you make a TV show out of this and not make it a continuation of the story? Make it a alternate universe version of the story kind of thing? Like,
that
seems weird.
That's kind of what they're doing, though, is what if I remember reading it correctly, and what Joe was saying is, like, it's their way of, like, jumping back further, I guess, you
it's
know what I mean?
Still trying to correct the mistake.
Yeah,
it's
still like, trying to correct... Because in the movie, they didn't stop the plague. The plague still happened, so he's jumping to a different time or whatever,
yeah, so
you know? But
somebody still
I agree with you. It's a random
problem.
Fucking... It's
yeah,
like... It's like, hey, let's take a movie
like,
that
had they
did
said,
okay and, you know...
Like a movie like I Am Legend and say we're going to show you the middle... You know, from the flashbacks to that, like, I think that would have more.
But I think that's what, and there's not a whole lot more
that would
information,
be weird as
but
fuck
I think
too.
That they, that would be a direction that they want to go. He, maybe, you know, maybe not season long, but at
so
least
the,
half a season
the,
long, he travels, he ends up in World War One, where he has to survive in World War One, and then he's pulled back out into the future.
Is the main character in the TV show the same character that Bruce Willis played?
I don't believe they've put. No, they have put names to them, but I don't know. I don't remember the name of.
Because if it's the same character, it seemed like they'd go more of a like.
James Cole was Bruce Willis's character in 12 Monkeys.
James Cole's on there.
No,
like
I don't
it,
see
huh?
that they've. They've put a name. To
I don't know.
James
it just
Cole.
Seems weird. Like, but I mean, weirder shit has happened. They did. Fuck the vampire movie with Clooney. I'm spacing right now.
The vampire movie.
Oh, from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, they yeah. turned that into a TV show with the brothers. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually, and I was confused as fuck by that.
Because yeah,
and I thought it was somebody else
by the end of.
Yeah, but it actually ended up being the same.
It's the brothers. Yeah, it's the Gecko brothers still.
Yeah, that confused me, and I haven't watched it, but I actually heard really good things about it, and it got picked up for another season. So
it's funny because the little bit I've seen, I haven't seen any of the episodes. I saw like trailers and stuff. The vampires look better than they did in the movie.
Well, yeah,
that's it's pretty lot. Funny. Yeah, it like they like their fangs flip down instead of just like, blah, like you know, just moving their face fast and changes. They actually like morph, kind of like like they did in like Buffy, but looks better. And their teeth like flip like, down. And
yeah, like better. In Buffy or Angel, where yeah. they just like throw some Play-Doh on his forehead and give him some veins. There you go.
What doesn't say though, Joe? Little, because I know Mike probably won't get this because I don't think he's seen the other movie. Did you know this is part of a trilogy, 12 Monkeys?
No.
I didn't. Terry Gilliam made a movie called Brazil.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. Yep. Yeah.
And then last year with Christoph Waltz, he made a movie called The Zero Theorem.
That's about to come out, right?
It's already been out. It came out last year. It's about to come out like in major release too.
Oh, okay. Because I've just started seeing shit for that.
Yeah. But it's like it's essentially the second part. 12 Monkeys is the second part of a dystopian satire trilogy that he did that he's doing.
That's weird.
So were all those connected to mm-hmm. each other? Like how? Yep.
Like interlocking story or just connected as in we're in the same universe?
Right. Same universe. Yep.
Okay. So it's like Blade Runner
yep.
and Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Except for Soldier wasn't good.
Yeah.
Brazil was fantastic.
You say Brazil, and that's oddly enough that like I always remember walking by that one at the video store.
Oh, no one ever picks up Brazil because it looks fucking bizarre. Well, it is bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one ever goes, oh, I'm going to go to Brazil because that looks like a fucking gem. It's a weird fucking movie.
It reminds me of 12 Monkeys.
If you watch it, you'll notice a lot of things. Like the when they show the future of 12 Monkeys, you don't really see like the destroyed cities. In Brazil, takes place in the hierarchy, so mm-hmm. it takes place in the rich people area, where 12 Monkeys takes place in the poor people area. So the rich people in Brazil aren't affected by the plague because they are the ones that you know the higher up ones, you know, class type society. And Zero Theorem is placed in modern day ish time. In okay. So
weird.
Yep.
If you gut pet bet on it, what is the show going to be, shitty or good? Not what you hope, because everyone hopes something like this.
Honestly,
be good.
I think it's going to be shitty. I mean, I think about it and I hope that it's actually something decent because sci-fi needs a good show. Now, I mean,
Sharknado, the TV show.
The TV show. Oh my god,
that'll work.
Sharknado. They did it again.
Sharknado Weekly.
No, Sharknado. It continues.
It continues.
Sorry.
Yes, knowing them, they would do something like call it Sharknado Episodic Adventures.
The Adventures of Sharknado.
They have different type of tornadoes. You go from a regular one to like water style.
Sure, is there a legit sci-fi show going on right now? There's not, huh?
No, sci-fi. No, and that's what I'm saying. Shit.
They actually need a show.
No, I'm saying genre, not the channel. Like, is there?
Oh, a legit sci-fi. Like,
no, because Almost Human was canceled.
Yeah, you canceled Almost Human, and you have.
I didn't cancel it. You don't.
And I think their most successful movie was Sharknado. Which is the only reason I brought it up.
Fucking, which is terrible to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is no.
Yeah, because like in the past, we've always been able to look at. Right. Well,
technically, I guess you could include Doctor Who as a sci-fi.
The only sci-fi.
But
like,
that's still BBC America.
They have
until
Continuum,
it goes.
Which isn't technically not their show.
Oh, and
Defiance.
Defiance, that's
and
what
Helix
it was.
Are like their.
But
I
honestly can't.
Are
I
their sci-fi shows? Defiance is in the second season, Continuum is in its second season. Helix is in its first season. Yeah, first season. And then they have a shitty vampire one from Canada called Bitten. And I'm looking at the list right now. It's finally loaded. And then they have Dominion, which is that like supernatural religious one with the angels and shit coming down, whatever.
I think you're going to start to see a lot more from cable channels, though. I mean, just from the basis of HBO. I saw a preview on there. But again, I think they said something like, was it 50 nominations they got this year?
55.
For their TV shows alone. So I think you're really starting to see,
it's like a
besides just pay channels, other cable channels.
For all of HBO. Yeah.
Because the cable channels can get away with a lot more than regular TV can. So hopefully in the future, sci-fi and other channels will start to build their reputation.
Well, the problem,
reputation.
Though, is HBO has a fuck ton of money.
Right. No, I get that.
Sci-fi doesn't,
but like the thing about TV right now, because all the best TV show, I guess you can kind of say Walking Dead is sci-fi-ish, but
so
not.
It's a genre.
I would say, the one on TNT
good.
That I love right now, Falling Skies, is probably the biggest one of the biggest.
I forget about that one because I don't watch it. But no, I feel like the best, you know, going back to what you were talking about, you know, cable TV, AMC, you know, the HBO, the Showtimes and stuff like that. I feel like the best TV that's being made like recently and right now has been kind of like they've been more drama based and like just sad and depressing and like ugh, hard to watch all the time. You know what I mean?
Walking Dead to a T.
Yeah. But like I think a good sci-fi genre show, you know, a new one.
The thing with like with 12 Monkeys though, it's not gonna help you with that. Like,
no,
it's not being depressing because it's gonna be fucking depressing. And... yeah,
or at least you know make it like.
That's why they needed Almost Human.
Cool action, yeah, man. Almost Human is exactly what I'm talking humor, about right now.
It had action. It had the dramas. It had a little bit of the feels suspense, in it.
To date myself here, balls, but man. Back when I was growing up, like
Buck Rogers
cable, but I'm just talking. It's like your pay channels, like HBO, Showtime, were just movies.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even movies that they made. It, no, it was studio produced movies.
Yeah, that's what
they're period.
For. That's yeah. what they were for. Yeah.
Now they're making their own movies. Most of the time, it's pretty much I would say 50% on HBO is their TV shows and their movies, which and 50% awesome. Movies.
Well, since HBO started doing it, like, they've always had at least one hit going on at
right,
a time.
And now you got stars going out. You got Cinemax. I mean, all of them are trying to make their own shows, but HBO has really just been dominating because they kind of started it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like Netflix and they're starting to get in the game. And they had what like 32 nominations for Emmys or something like that. Like they were hot on the tails of HBO this year with all their
Netflix. And they still got just, a bunch of stuff that's yeah. coming down.
Well,
the
fucked up part
Marvel.
About Netflix though for HBO is they had all those nominations for five shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Game of Thrones got
that
a lot.
Rough.
What was the other one?
Well, the biggest one they had this year was Normal Heart, the movie they did.
Yeah. That one alone got, AIDS. What, 16?
True Detective.
I think it was 16 nominations just for that right. movie, the Normal Hearts.
I don't remember what it was.
It was something like 16, 18. It was a lot.
So when I say sci-fi genre show, like we need another space show.
I'd fully agree.
Or
with
Almost
that.
Human.
I think if you want to do it right, though, I'm imagining those are going to be more costly because of the effects you got
to
use.
Very true. I don't think you have to go effects crazy, though. I mean, you build a ship.
But again, if you're trying to capture into
a real life ship and just shoot actual footage,
it's going to be a lot cheaper if we just build this.
Yeah, if we build a spaceship.
We just perfect spaceships. I mean, we probably save a lot of money in the long run.
Sci-fi is big in movies because again, you've got that big budget and it's just awesome.
Yeah, like Sharknado.
But then that's where something like HBO could come along. If you had, like you said, if you
HBO,
had something
stop
that
bitch,
because you're pulling out a shit ton of money for Game of Thrones. You could back a science fiction.
I'm getting
and
more
a show and make it look good.
Pissed talking about this because Cody's right. Like Almost Human is exactly what like I want right now.
Yeah,
it had everything. Even Fox. Carl Urban. It had Carl Urban. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Carl Urban.
According to this, the Normal Heart only had six nominations.
I thought
only?
one of the shows I could have swore they said was something like 16 or 18 or something. It was a crazy amount.
I know that Game of Thrones had a fuck ton.
Yeah, and that might be the one.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Because Game of Thrones is fucking awesome.
But yeah, what they do with that show being a fantasy base, imagine what they could do with a sci-fi show.
It'd be awesome.
It could be good. Have a.
I'm getting ready to pitch one, so, you know, whatever. We'll see. Not really sci-fi.
It's not really sci-fi at all.
Yeah. Ex Machina could be, though. Maybe my second
sci-fi-ish.
One. He's got a fucking.
That's close enough. I'll take ish.
Things
take
and
ish.
I'll take ish.
The dude that comes with the suit looks like he's underwater, but he's actually from the. Sorry, I'm just going now. I'm just saying. I would.
That's why I'm saying it's sci-fi ish. It's more drama than anything until it gets towards the end.
If Disney was smart, they dump money into CBS and let them do some real, like Marvel superhero shows.
They're trying.
Well, Netflix is gonna get their Marvel shows and
But I mean, you make
Agents
that crap
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
look like it
amazing.
Does in theater.
I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of has sci-fi elements too. But like when you think sci-fi, you think more like, you know, futuristic world or space.
They're going to get that with the next season, I'm sure. Because
you're going to have all the mutant stuff. Has to start coming through.
Miracles.
Right? Miracles. Sorry, Fox.
Yeah. Don't let Fox try to get their tentacles in here.
Can't say mutants in a Marvel movie. Yep. Have to say miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah.
It has a different connotation to it when you say miracles rather than
I don't know what that word means.
It's not a huge way of saying you're special.
Big words. Confuse Mike.
Yeah.
So did anybody else have anything else to...
There's a couple things. Like, we touched on Lady Thor. Now,
I don't like you. Don't say that.
What are you?
Your name's Thor. Thor. Okay.
It's a girl now, though, is what the big news was.
So you're going to call him Horse announced. Thor when he was Beta Ray Bill?
Yeah.
Or Frog Thor?
Yeah, that was... I totally called him Frog Thor because he was a frog.
Roar.
Roar.
Just ribbits every time he hits people with a hammer. Like, why do you think they... Are they doing that just to get a woman character?
No, it's actually a plan from the beginning when Jason Aaron took over.
It was the beginning of when Jason Aaron took over the female crowd. Yeah, but like, wouldn't you say like a more like productive way of doing that? Because nobody in 10 years, unless this story arc is fucking amazing and they put her in a movie. No one's going to look back in 10 years and think Thor as a woman first.
So Marvel, as the comic books, are trying to go away from some of the stuff they're seeing in the movies. So they're different universes. Because they're not trying to do what everyone thinks they're doing. Was like, oh, this person's going to be in it. So like he's going to be in the comic books and that sort of stuff. They want to kind of separate them.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying.
It like, was a big plan from ever.
I don't think that's the way to go. Obviously, they'll have a story arc. I'm sure it'll be cool or whatever. But... like, if you want to get more women characters in, like, don't you think the right route is create some
the characters
and put some fucking good creative people behind it?
Well, the good thing about this one is they're not losing male Thor, as you would want to say. He's still in the book.
Okay, so explain, because a lot of people, I didn't 100% understand this either. Thor is not like Thor's
a title.
Name. Thor is the title.
Yes.
So whoever gets the hammer is Thor.
Takes the mantle of Thor, yes.
Takes the mantle of Thor. It's like the Dread Pirates Robert.
Essentially, a little bit.
That's exactly what it is.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As you wish.
So yeah. Thor, as we know him now, Thor, his real name is not actually Thor. Nobody knows.
Donald Blake, if you really wanted to, because that's what he goes by.
Oh, like his yeah.
When he, Earthbound. Yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense knowing that like you could have another Thor. I just feel like this is an attempt to get more female characters into the universe. When I think a better way to do it is just create a new one, and that's what they're doing. But they're attaching her right to Thor, like you know what I mean.
They had a female Thor before.
Did they?
Yeah, Valkyrie was her, and that's what so Valkyrie was before we started recording. I was telling you Valkyrie is now dead. The rumors is that's supposed to be their child. Thor and Valkyrie had a thing in the
She's
normal taken
over the family business.
Valkyrie died, and this is the child that Thor didn't know that he had,
right.
And then she emerges somehow. I'm going by rumors. They haven't actually officially announced that they're not going to ruin it. So when you buy the book,
but now do you think that this could potentially, let's say you're a huge Thor fan, now piss you off and turn you off?
Well, there's a fuck ton of people who are upset.
Yeah, and I don't want to give the impression I'm upset. I don't care. Like I'm just confused as to why they're doing it. It's like,
right?
Just
create a new character and.
Go
forward.
And again, I know that's what they're doing, but they're immediately giving her the mantle of Thor. Like
built up to it.
Yeah, let somebody else, you know, let a character take over. Because, I mean, you've seen, you know, different people other than Bruce Wayne play Batman, be Batman. But nobody was ever like, oh, this is going to be the next Batman. You know what I mean? It was always a build up to it a little bit. Like,
yeah.
You know, a Robin eventually taking his... Like that seems like more the route that you probably should go. Like it might work out really well because it's different, and it might be fresh and cool. But I feel like obviously there's a need to have more female heroes, female characters in the comic book world. When in reality there's a shit ton of really good ones already, and you fucking make a new one, man. Like Death Betty. Shout out.
Yeah, another shout out.
But again, though, that's an original story, a new series based around a female lead. And it's cool. It's really fun. And I can't wait to see what else they do with it. Why isn't there more of that going on from the bigs like DC and Marvel? Like, why don't they just do that?
Because money has already been printed for that. So the big two, Marvel and DC, have always been afraid of new things, like not so much new concepts within the existing characters, but new characters to bring in, because it's a risk to do that. You know what I mean? Like, they have all these established characters, they can just kind of start over for the most part. Even when they start new storylines with some of the characters, like, they don't want to start over, so they do things like Marvel Knights, where you take it's more mature role, and they change the origin a little bit, but it's only, that's like, oh, it's Marvel Knights, Ultimate Marvel Universe, that sort of stuff, because they don't want to damage the cash cow. DC is even more terrified of it, because they tried, they did the Elseworlds stuff, and they were like, oh, it's not doing good, cancel it all. Because they're so terrified of ruining what people already know of the characters. So they who imprints like Icon and what we know now as Vertigo.
Yeah.
Wildstorm was brought over and turned into Vertigo. That is their way of doing original content outside of their normal realm. Very, very few things have ever made their way in. Constantine, for example, Hellblazer, that was a Vertigo title that they brought in.
Okay.
Swamp Thing was a Vertigo title they brought in. Those ones, because they were so popular, they brought them over. And when they did that, they lost them because they toned them down. So, like, Hellblazer, when they brought him over and made him Constantine, they lost the bisexuality. They lost a lot of the what made him this edgy character.
A unique, and then different
fail. And that's what they keep doing because they're afraid to do that. And it's a shame. I've always thought that myself, because, like, you have amazing stuff being made by all these creators outside of the big two that are awesome, but because they're so busy with the big two, they can't go anywhere. So there's always small miniseries.
I had heard years ago when friends of mine were into comics and drawing and stuff like that, that the original, because the only big two that were out there were DC and Marvel at the time, before Spawn came out and a lot of those comics. And a lot of it was like with DC, you had to draw the characters their way. So if you had a new and original idea, everything was their way, which is why you started seeing other people spawning their own versions of comics and trying to push for them. And then when that happened, now you have a lot, to your point, comics that were a lot more intense than what you could get, because they had so many rules of what you had to follow and what you had to do, that, again, you know, what's it going to take? Why haven't you changed yet, seeing what everybody else is doing? Why are you sticking to those values?
Like, I totally get, like, what works is making them money, like, and they want to keep doing that until the well dries up. But it's like, I think they're missing an opportunity to be proactive here and just make some cool fucking characters. You know what I mean? Like, elevate the characters you have, man. Like, throw some of your, and they won't do it, but throw some of your best behind Batgirl. Throw some of your best behind Wonder Woman, which they are with Grant Morrison. Is about to blow that up.
Yeah, but that's Earth 2, though. Or Earth 1, though.
But still, though.
That's not the main canon, because, like, right now it's Brian Azzarello. But he's still
saying that you're throwing a good writer.
But Azzarello's fantastic, too. But I'm saying, like, I've never, you know, picked up a Wonder Woman solo book and been like, I can't wait to read this. Just having Grant Morrison behind it, and like, that makes me want to read it. Knowing it's own
well the
thing.
Quality that they've put into the Earth One series so far, but with Superman and Batman, just also makes you want more. Yeah. Even if it wasn't who was it,
Morrison
behind it,
could have been Geoff Johns, like, you know what I mean, but say they took Snyder after he gets done with the Batman run and throws him, and obviously he would have to want to, but throws him behind Batgirl and let her do her own, like,
we'd probably start that'll make me
pick up Batgirl. You know what I mean? Like, you have to throw your stars behind it. Right now, if you're DC, your rock star is Snyder. I'm a huge fan of Kyle Higgins too, but I think he's he kind of got a raw deal a little bit. I don't know exactly how it worked out, but I think Kyle Higgins could have done one of those characters. And granted, like, had a TV show like Birds of Prey not been fucking awful, horrendous, it probably would have helped too. But you have to throw your best when you're, you know, planning on changing the way mass people look at in the comic book genre. You don't think female leads first, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I think you could. And so, yeah. And every time you get a female lead, you get a female lead is, oh, now we're going to have a female Thor, or now we have a female Spider-Man. Or now we have a female Batman, essentially, with Batgirl. Like, right, let her have her own shit, dude. Like, give her own unique thing and introduce them into like that. I think Scarlett Johansson rocking out Black Widow so well in the movies is going to translate pretty soon to comic book success. Like, it has to, right? Like,
well, and I haven't honestly picked up any of the Black Widow comics yet, but at least all the artwork that I've seen in it is amazing. That's also one half the battle in comic books.
And I guess that hurts so bad.
I don't know.
Okay.
And this, obviously, this all spawns because it was like, what, 2 days ago when the news broke that, like, it was a huge deal. And, like, I don't know why everyone's upset. Like, I'm just confused by it. Like,
and the story arc for it could be absolutely awesome. When does the issue come? It's
October.
October.
Yeah. So the biggest thing, I was reading over some stuff. So the biggest thing about this is they're not getting rid of Thor.
No.
This female is taking the mantle of Thor.
Right.
So I was reading over it, trying to remember what it was, because his name is Thor. His actual name is Thor Odinson. Okay. He was born because Odin wanted a son to take his place, because he knew eventually he would die, but he didn't have any sons. So he went and the original story was he went and wooed Gaia, the earth goddess. They banged, had a kid. He took him back to Asgard, raised him on his own as Thor, named him Thor after the old guard, growing him up to be Thor. That's why I told you the name.
That makes sense.
So her name is not Thor. She has a different name. They just haven't announced who it is yet, so you don't know who it is. You're not going, oh, it's so-and-so. They're trying to leave it because they want people to buy the issue.
Right.
Obviously.
Which a lot of people will.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So he's not gone. I showed you guys the picture, which
he's somewhere kind of reimagined. He's got an axe,
and then he's got a crazy metal arm. Again, I don't know because they haven't released any of the details of what it is, but he's not, like, that Thor, Odinson, is not gone. He's not now a girl. She is a different character who somehow, again, from the fallout of original sin and Axis of Evil, somehow gains the mantle of Thor by taking Mjolnir, so of her own, and actually being able to wield it as Thor. So, and she looks fucking badass.
No, yeah,
all new cosplay. They're doing it for cosplay reasons and toys.
Yeah, because you every
you see chick Thors all the time. Yeah, like cosplay. Oh, chick just every, Thor. You know,
like every like character.
Jessica
has a
Neri,
chick version,
right? Yeah. Jessica Neri is the cosplay chick that started like the whole female Thor thing.
I don't think so.
Wasn't it her? Whatever. No. Some chick was doing that.
No, I don't think so. I honestly don't think it was her.
I thought it was her. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, and it's just another reason. But yeah, they're just shaking things up like they normally do. Again, only two people before they mixed things up that were ever able to wield Mjolnir were Odin, who is the king. He can wield any of the mystical weapons. Then Thor lost his way when he was sent down to Earth in the body of Donald Blake. Beta Ray Bill showed up, which is a goddamn joke for the most part. Frog Thor is when he was cursed. He was actually Thor, but made to look like a frog. Was another weird 70s
thing.
That
was totally Frog Thor.
Yeah, and then
I call that Frog Thor.
Yeah, and then later on, there was a friend that he made on Earth. I'm trying to remember. Find his name again. That's what I was trying to look up. Eric Masterson's. That is the body that he now encompasses, because he was dying. Thor said, begged Odin to save his life, and to do so, that he merged the two bodies, and so his other personality is Eric Masterson. Besides Donald Blake, who's like where he learned his doctorate and all that fun stuff. It's weird. Thor's had a weird history.
Yeah.
But
I understand all that, and I'm not upset by it. I'm just saying, like, this feels like a way to get a female lead in big, And probably this is like a, maybe this is the plan, which probably is to have her take over the mantle of Thor, eventually relinquish it, and then do something on her own if the character proves badass enough, which is cool. But it just seems like, oh, like just
yeah, are they also going to come pull up a normal comic book thing where they're like, you know, Superior Spider-Man, awesome from what I've read of Superior Spider-Man, where you Doc Ock transfers his consciousness over to Peter Parker, but then you knew eventually Parker was going to come back. It's like, so is that something saying, that they're going
to
do?
The only
you know,
people
Wolverine's
ever die.
About to die in a month, but you know he's going to come back. Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure when they say Wolverine, it's not. They didn't say Logan's dead. It's Wolverine's
death.
Because that's just
that they're still
a
what
name.
They're leading to.
Is yeah, but that's
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Is
that's
going
what
to
they're
die.
Cock teasing. They're always trying.
They've
to...
They've done it before when they
yeah,
took
but
his anime.
But it's like the old comic book saying that the only people to stay dead is Gwen Stacy and the other one.
Todd
that,
Jason.
Yeah.
Or Jason Todd. Jason Todd. Jason.
It's like you're reading his name off of a.
Roland.
So will they bring
Todd Jason and the class today?
Will they bring Thor back, you know, actual Thor is back.
Absolutely.
As Thor, and then maybe shoot
Absolutely.
This one off as
eventually.
The chick off as a different character or whatnot.
But
we don't know.
The new Valkyrie.
We'll find out in October, apparently.
Yeah. And that was the news this week, I guess.
Yep. Oh, it's an hour.
Oh, real quick, Weird Al just put out a CD and it's awesome. Listen
go buy
to
it. iTunes. And then go rate us. iTunes.
Yeah. Since you're on iTunes buying the new Weird Al CD... just head on over to the podcast area.
Yeah, flip on over there. Type in the word
after
comes
you,
naturally.
After nice you type about how awesome the Weird Al CD is that we told you about, go over to Comes Naturally and type about how awesome we are. Everybody wins. We get ratings and reviews, and you get Weird Al. That's what we're giving you, people. We're giving you Weird Al.
We're not giving you Weird Al. We're giving you the chance to go buy Weird
we're
Al.
We're giving you...
Weird recommendation
essence. Which, if I had a guess, smells like polka music.
Smells like polka.
Which, if I had a guess, polka smells like John Candy in in Home Alone.
Polka.
Gross.
I totally forgot he was in that movie.
Anyway.
They were big in Sheboygan.
Yeah.
Sold almost 400 copies.
Never heard of me? Yeah. Okay. go watch Home Alone.
Yeah. So.
It doesn't have to be Christmas time to watch Home Alone.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, so that's it for this week. Comes Naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike,
and Cody. Our special guest again was
Eric.
All right, guys, we will talk at you later and see you next time.
Later.
Peace.